Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and joining me today is Jan Schenaeus and Max Cohen from the Boot Room. In this episode, we'll be analyzing the breaking news for Fulham, and that is the signing of Alexander Mitrovic on a five-year deal. It's the return of Mitro to Fulham. But before we do anything else and talk about Mitro, I have to welcome back my Cottage Talk co-host. First, Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing? You must be in good spirits right now.
I tried to sign him when I was at Portman Road, you know. He was worth only 500,000 then. Bloody inflation. I'm delighted. You know, he said something earlier. If you don't mind, I'm going to start the show with this little quote.
Go ahead.
Mitro today, and he said,
go ahead.
Quote, "I'm home. I don't need time to settle. I just want to play football and do big things with this amazing club." Now, I'm just trying to think of the time when I was more excited about getting a player to come back. Not to come, but to come back. And I'm thinking we might be going back 30-odd years when Gordon Davis came back. Oh, he left us. He went to Chelsea, then he went to City. And he was a Fulham boy through and through. But he did start here, and he wasn't a lone thing. He'd been with us for quite a long time. And that's the last time I'm going to remember, you know, being excited about a player returning home. You could tell that, his time with us on loan was so, I'm slowing my words again. What's wrong with me? I've been drinking vodka since he signed the contract. It's been defining. That's the word I was thinking. It's been defining. He looked so ecstatic wearing that shirt. And all of us are just really, really pleased. And this transfer window has just been, stupendous. And with the promise of more players coming in, it's like, you know, going downstairs at Christmas Day and getting all your favorite gifts under one tree in one year. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's fantastic. And Max, over to you. Giannis had a great quote. I have another one that I'm going to share with you, and there are several quotes from Alexander Mitrovic. I highly recommend all Fulham supporters watching the video on the Fulham website. It really is good. It's good 7 minutes, and Alexander gives you a good amount of stuff there, so please do check that out. But here's a quote for you, Max. Along with what Giannis just shared, this is on the Fulham Twitter account as well. Quote, "This is the only club I wanted to join." That's a quote from Alexander Mitrovic. And what's interesting is if you watch the video, he did mention that he had other offers. But obviously, this is where he wanted to play, Max. So your opening thoughts on signing of Alexander Mitrovic and your thoughts about, seems like he's very happy to be back at Fulham.
Yeah, and I'd be happy if I were him too. At Newcastle, he scored 14 goals in 2.5 years. And just since January at Fulham, he scored 12 times in 17 matches. So he's found his best form at Fulham. The fans love him. He loves the fans. Most importantly, his relationship with Slavisa is superb. He's found his best form here, and I think it's just the perfect transfer, I think, for everyone involved. He loves it at Fulham, and he's found his best form here. And I think the fans have taken to him. Like, I agree with Giannis. We haven't wanted a player back this badly in a long time. And I can't remember a player who's been so loved after just playing, you know, just a matter of 4 or 5 months at the club.
Just go on social media. You'll see it.
Yes, for sure. And just to think of the crazy circumstances we got him in. I mean, if it wasn't for that failed move to Anderlecht, you know, we probably wouldn't even be in the Premier League right now. But just that last, it just shows how fickle football can be, how luck can play such a big part. It just happened to be that Mitrovic deal broke down. It just happened Slavisa reached out to him at the last moment. And, you know, the rest is history now.
It is, Max. Very good stuff. And yeah, I'm going to go back to you before I do and really get your opening thoughts. You talked a little bit about Mitro. I want to get a little bit more from you. I just want to share a quote from Tony Khan. This is actually on the Fulham website. It's part of the intro to Alexander Mitrovic returning to Fulham, so you can actually see the quote in that article. But this is what Tony Khan had to share. Quote, "I'm delighted to announce that Alexander Mitrovic is back where he belongs at Fulham Football Club. We have reached an agreement to bring Mitro home. He was a hero in our run to promotion, and from the moment he arrived at Motspur and began working with us, we've always wanted Mitro on a permanent. I told him that after the final Wembley, and I'm thrilled to make it official today." Come on, Fulman. That's a quote from Tony Khan. And Giannis, again, I want your thoughts on Mitrovic, but this part of it, this is always part of, it sounds like the plan from Tony Khan to bring him back. And I want to give him kudos for getting the deal done, because it seems like to me that this negotiation went on a little bit, but he finally got it done. So I want to give him some credit. So I like the fact that in this quote, we get his mindset here, that he wanted Alexander Mitrovic back for a very long time, and now he got the deal done.
Yeah, and you got to give Tony Khan deserves an awful lot of credit. I mean, not just for this signing, but for the whole transfer window. Obviously, a lot of planning was done even before the end of the season. The best case scenario would be going after targets like Mitro. But you know that somewhere along the lines, Slavicius had a hand in this for sure. And I think that I've always been a fan of, you look at reclamation projects where players are not exactly fulfilling potential at a certain club, but they go somewhere else. And because they've been given the opportunity to be given really another chance or a better chance, depending, even depending on the age, that they come up trumps. And now I look back at, Damien Duff, who we all loved. I mean, in the time that he was with the club, did a tremendous job. I mean, Berbatov, to an extent, because he'd been riding the pines up at Old Trafford. Certainly, I mean, Aaron Hughes. It didn't work out for Adel Taarabt, but, I mean, he gave us a few little, cameo performances. But players that want... Andre Schürrle, who we've now picked up, is another one who, 4 years ago was on top of the world and not really... It's not really worked out for him since. So I've always been a fan of that. I talked a lot about the Balotelli thing because whether it's Balotelli or, Lord Nicholas Bentner, players can turn it around. I mean, there's, you don't become a bad player overnight. And for whatever reason, up at Newcastle, he fell behind the pecking order. But the only reason this didn't get over the line earlier was Mike Ashley. And yes. Mike Ashley... What a bizarre football club Newcastle are. I mean, they've got a big stadium, 52,000. I'll never question the loyalty of Newcastle fans. I never will. The northeastern fans, whether it's Newcastle, Borough, Sunderland, always have incredible road support. They fill out the joint most games. He's got a lot of money, and yet he's still to date his record signing is Michael Owen, and we've shattered our record. Signing out by four times in this transfer window, and it could go up to five. He's not prepared to spend the money. He seems to think that Salomon Rondon is a better alternative than Mitrovic.
Right.
Rondon's a different kind of player than Mitrovic, but Mitrovic does certain things very well. In the division, even in the Premier League, the ability to hold the ball up is very, very important. And West Ham, for example, still haven't replaced Andy Carroll, really.
Right.
Because, you could even say Newcastle fans would probably argue with you that Newcastle haven't replaced Andy Carroll. They've just not really been the same team. They haven't had the same focal point. And this is a kid who wanted to come back and play for us. So it's kudos all round. He's absolutely ecstatic. I'm sure that the experienced players are really happy. I think, the Matt Target, I'm hearing that we've put in another bid tonight for 12 million. I still... under normal circumstances would say, well, we should be able to get him. But I think he'd sell. I honestly think that Mark Hughes would ensure that we'd sell him to another club for less money than we offer just because it's us, Mr. Ambition himself. But in a funny sort of way, I hope we don't get him, because if the rumours are true about Tierney up at Celtic, so some of the comments I've read from Celtic fans saying, what was it one idiot said? Oh, it's
I've
like Messi
them.
Going...
Calling former Ten Pike club. I've seen it.
Yeah. And, Accrington, it's like signing for Accrington, Stanley. I won't swear, but bollock off. You're playing up in Scotland, right? Only two teams have won the Premier League in the last 32 freaking years. Like, shut up. You've got no competition up there. You're an awful, awful league. They're a massive, massive club up there. But it's an awful league, and they're talking about our club. Piss off. Like, get lost. So I hope, in a way... I hope we get Tierney just to troll those Celtic buggers, just to troll them senseless. And I've actually got a Rangers shirt in here somewhere. I don't know, from many years ago. I'll even put that on and put it on the Celtic thingy. Honestly, I don't care. Because you know what? We're not a tin pot club.
No.
We're a well-run club. And it's great that we're back. And it's great that the Khans have shown intent to spend money to make sure we're there next year.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. Listen, you brought up something very interesting that I want to talk a little bit about. You were talking about his time at Newcastle compared to his time here with Fulham. And I want to talk to both of you about this because I've given this some thought. And for me, it's about the fit. Alexander Mitrovic fits here at Fulham. He fits with the way Savisa wants to play. It's just a good fit. It works. And that's why I think he's going to thrive back here, even in the Premier League, because I've had some Newcastle supporters tell me, well, he really didn't do as great as they thought he would at Newcastle. They're not expecting big things. I had one actual blogger DM me that he didn't think that Fulham would do well this time with Mitrovic in the Premier League. And I completely disagree because I see the fit. He can hold up the ball. He gets his teammates involved. The big thing about him is that I think for a striker, I think he's fairly unselfish because I think he is a team striker, if that makes any sense, Giannis. I think this is about the fit. It's the right fit. And I'm going to give you a prediction. And I could be dead wrong on this. Okay, here's my prediction, a bold prediction for the future. I think Alexander Mitrovic could have as good of a career as Bobby Zamora did with Fulham in his prime in that Europa League run. I think he could be just as effective, maybe even more. So I want to get your thoughts on the fit and also my bold prediction, if you want.
Well, I think that you're bang on with the fit. And it's interesting because, you know, I think we play very different styles to Newcastle United. And you've got a player with Dwight, like Dwight, playing Dwight Gale, who tends to be a more selfish player. It's almost like an isolated kind of team, whereas in our team last year, you know, the interchange and the interpassage of play and the ability to share the ball and get the touches on the ball ensured that Mitro saw a lot of the ball. You've got to also twin that with the, you know, the Serbian factor with Slavica. I think he's one of, I might be wrong, I think Mitro is one of these players that needs to be shown a bit of love. And I don't mean like no disrespect to Ibrahimovic, who's just a ridiculous player. Even at his age of 36, 37, but someone who, you know, that needs a little bit of coaching and, you know, pats on the head and what have you. And Slavica obviously did a magnificent job there. And you add that into the mix and you got a player who feels wanted. And then if he's wanted by the fans as well, he will, he'll go above and beyond. And the fit there is absolutely critical. Now, Bobby Zamora, you may raise an excellent point there. Now, I was pleased when we got Zamora. It took a little time to warm up. Yeah, it did take a year. But unlike Zamora, the problem with Zamora, I mean, he was brilliant in the Europa League run, but something happened where he fell out of love with the fans, or the fans fell out of love with him because he got a lot of stick.
Well, it was contentious.
It was contentious. Say? Yeah, and he, of course, of all the clubs he has to go to, he went to the Ha-Ha's.
Yeah.
Although I was delighted that he put in.
That's what I was talking about in his prime when he was really playing well.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I was focusing on. Oh, yeah. Zamora was really at his height with Fulham.
But I will forgive him because he put in, you remember that pre-Villa game at Wembley? He was one of the people who contributed to the video message to wish him luck, which I was really pleased. Yes. But the difference is that Mitro, you can tell it's like an Gordon Davis kind of it's a genuine respect and love for the club. And one thing with that video message before the game, all those players that made comments, video comments, even Berbatov.
I know. Berbatov.
Yeah, Berbatov. It's where they still had a respect and a love for the club, where they said, you know, go out and win it. So yeah, and we don't know who he's been talking to either. It might have been some of the old players. Say, what do you think? Do they, you know, go to Fulham? You're going to be less under the magnifying glass. It's a smaller club, but you know what? You'll get lots of love. Did you enjoy your time there? Did you feel your career was energized? You feel energized in terms of the ability to play football that you love, getting up every morning for practice and stuff like that. He's going to be welcomed back with open arms, and he's going to walk in a change room where you've got an Ivory Coast international, you've got a World Cup winner, you got players like Mawson probably going to come in. You know, a lot of the squad back from last year. You got players like Mac and Kearney have re-signed contracts.
You're making my point with Mitro. I think he has the players around him to be even better this time around in the Premier League compared to his time at Newcastle. Then, of course, even last season with Fulham, where I thought he was fantastic, but he has better players around him even now.
Big time. Big time. In a much tougher division, don't get me wrong. But
that's
look
what
at
I'm
the
saying.
Exposure. Yeah, but look at the exposure he's going to be getting. I mean, the fact that he's going to be playing for a Premier League club game in, game out is good for his international career as well for Serbia. I mean, that's something he's got to look at. I mean, if he stays at Newcastle or he goes to another club, it's like, but, you know, he's going to Fulham. It's going to get him a lot more caps for sure. And you've got that. It's just going to be tremendous for him. And he's going to, I've not spoken to anyone who dislikes Mitro. Yeah. He's like a Gordon Davis in one. In all the years, I never ever spoke to a fan who didn't like Gordon Davis. As annoyed as and upset as some of us were that he left, and that wasn't his fault. He didn't ask for transfer, but we still love him many, many years after he retired. And I put him in that ilk. And Gordon Davis is my favorite, all time favorite Fulham player. I mean, I think I probably always will be. But he was loyal and he loved the club. And this is it's a fantastic day. And the social media has just been brilliant. And if you look at the Newcastle social media, I mean, they're ready to jump into they're ready to jump off the page. I mean, some fans are very upset. And it's not at Rafa. And it's not at the player. It's at Mike Ashley.
It's at Ashley.
It's at Ashley.
Where it should be, Giannis. It should be right at him.
Well, Ashley's an idiot. Ashley, I don't know. He obviously runs a decent club, although a decent, organized sports director is huge, but running a football club and I feel sorry for the Newcastle fans because it is a relatively big club, but I think they get shafted by their owner and they should be better than what they are.
Okay, excellent. Max, over to you. I wanted to just talk a little bit about this thought that I had from what Giannis shared earlier about the potential impact of Mitrovic, the fit, because I think this is a great fit. And Giannis just emphasized it even more to me, talk about the players that now have come in that he's going to play with. He's loved already at Fulham. It's Slavica's system. He gets along well with Slavica. Everything is in place for him to succeed. That's why I've got my bold prediction that he is going to be a huge success, could have as much of an impact or maybe even more than Bobby Zamora, I'm talking about on the pitch, at his prime with Fulham. That's why I'm throwing it out there, because I think this is an even more significant re-signing, I guess you could say, than people are thinking, because I think he's going to do incredibly well for Fulham. Everything is in place for him to succeed.
Yeah, for me, it boils down to two main factors with how strikers succeed at a club. One of them is confidence, and the other is playing in a team that creates a lot of chances. And at Fulham, Mitrovic has both of those things in high supply. Because I feel like when he's at Newcastle, Mitrovic especially, he's a player, as you guys mentioned. He needs love. You know, he needs to be respected and needs to feel wanted. And at Newcastle, when a young player like that, his first chance in England, kind of feel like he's down the pecking order, that's when he starts kind of sulking, being impudent, going out of the pitch and getting red cards, getting sent off. His temper flares up. But when he's at Fulham, and Slavica makes it very clear, listen, I'm going to take you under my wing. He only sees him as like a father figure. They're both Serbian. They have a really great relationship. I think that's when the confidence starts to expand. And then playing in Fulham with the way we play, as you guys mentioned, it's a dream come true for Mitro because we create so many chances. The way we play last season in terms of the passing style of play, the attacking style of play, where we really pen opponents in their own half, there's so many chances for him, and he just fed off those really brilliantly. I mean, scoring the 12 goals in 17 matches show how well he did. And I think next season, as you guys mentioned, it's going to be the same. I think with the quality of players we brought in, like Seri, like Sherla, with having Sessegnon back, Kearney back, McDonald back, hopefully bring in some more players at the back, we're going to be solid defensively, and we're going to have a lot of the ball, maybe not as much of the ball as we had last season, but we're still going to create a lot of chances. And that's why I
he's going to get his opportunities. Yeah, exactly. And I think having the talent around him, not that he didn't have good talent around last season in the championship, but let's be honest, we've upgraded. And we still have very good players that were already in place, but we've added players around it. And I think if you put him as the focal point with all of that talent around him, I just see all of the elements there, Max, to really thrive here at Fulham again.
Yeah, and I think this is why the fans are so excited, because he has all the elements to succeed. And when you hear Newcastle fans saying, he wasn't good for us, he's not going to be good for you guys, that's just nonsense for me, because it's a different situation And what I'm going to put that down to is they're jealous because they know Mitrovic
there's some sour grapes there.
Striker. But they realize that Rafa, for whatever reason, couldn't utilize him properly. He didn't really love the club that much like he loves Fulham. And they're kind of mad. They're losing out on a very young, promising striker who's going to score, my prediction, is at least double digits next season.
Okay, excellent there, Max. All right, right back to you. Let's talk about the business end of this deal. There have been different reports. I've seen reports that the deal with Newcastle was $20 million. I've seen $22 million. I've even seen reports, speculation that it could go all the way up to an additional £5 million. There's been all kinds of speculation, but one way or another, it seems somewhere around $20 to £22 million for Mitrovic. So let me ask you, do you think it's worth the money, whether it's $20 or $22 million or even more than that? Are you happy with the deal that they made here to bring him in?
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy with the deal. The fee I'm going to go with is $22
million. Yep.
That's what The Guardian reported. That's, I think, the most trusted source reporting on this now. And they said it could rise to $27 million. So that's the region we're dealing with. And listen, I think that's what you have to pay for a striker in this market. And we've seen a lot of clubs go out and spend a lot more money for similar talent, is my opinion. I mean, West Ham is the example I'm looking at, a club of similar stature to us. And they went out and spent, you know, 35, 40 million on Felipe Anderson, who is a different type of player, sure. But I see that's kind of the benchmark. If you want to buy a young, exciting, attacking talent, you're going to have to pay upwards of 20 to 25 million pounds. And I think in terms of how much Mitrovic meant to Fulham and how much he means to the fans, paying that extra couple of million pounds is more than worth it when you consider how much of a disaster it would be if we missed out on him just because we were haggling over, you know, 3 or 5 million pounds. Which may seem like a lot, but I think he means more to the club, and we need him that much more than that small fee.
Right, and the way I look at it, Max, and, you know, listen, strikers can go for more, but this is the right fit, and they know what they're getting with Mitrovic. So their figure that, say it's $22 million, they know that they believe that they're getting their money's worth for that figure because they know what they already have, and that's a good thing about it. Did they have to go above and beyond what they wanted to pay? Potentially. But you know what? If you want the player, you know, we talked about this. I have no problem with Tony Khan negotiating with Mike Ashley to try to get the best deal that he could. I have no issue with that because that's what you should do. But at some point, you got to make a deal. If they felt that they needed to go a little further than they wanted to, so be it. They got the player. They know what they have in Mitrovic. They feel comfortable with bringing him back. They wanted him back. I read the quote from Tony Khan. They definitely wanted him back, and it sounds like Tony Khan did what he needed to do to bring him back. So I'm fine with the deal. For me, the Khans are billionaires. If they want to bring in players, fine. You know, for X amount of money, fine. It's their money. It's not my money. It's their money.
Yeah.
Giannis, your thoughts on the deal?
Yeah, I'm just laughing. Yeah, absolutely. It is their money. And it's sort of, I'm just...
Not my money.
Yeah, that's true. And as you're saying this, I'm thinking of, you know, the lineup that we had out last year, you know, with the loanees and, you know, we're not mentioning Thomas Kalas.
No.
And we're not mentioning Lucas Piazon. But interestingly enough, when you get something like this, it sometimes brings out, sometimes it's a shot in the arm for other players. So, for example, I was reading Ryan Donovan's excellent account of what happened at the weekend in the 14 tournament. And one of the players that appears to have stepped up a gear is Neskens Cabana.
Yes.
And, you know, that is absolutely outstanding. Now, I wanted to go a whole show without, you know, referring to my old mate, Floyd Aite. But, you know what, if players like Neskens are going to come up through, you know, and AK-47 and, you know, let's see what happens with Font, then we're always looking to upgrade, in other words.
Right.
And I said last year I thought someone like Font would do well for us in the Premier League. But they're going to be better offers even out there, better players out there. They're going to want to come here. And we've still got a little ways to go in the transfer deadline so that we might have even more surprises. So it's, you know, I think it's just brilliant. Just brilliant. It's just wonderful. And you know, better players aren't just good in terms of the team, but I've always said as a coach, better players make players better. You know, and it's when you got a World Cup winner who walks into your training camp, you know, to Motspur Park, and you're going, oh, shit, look what this guy's done. He's won it all, and he's won more. And you've got him walking in, and that can be really infectious. And that's the sort of thing that you want. And these signings are just great for fans. And, hey, the club shop, I bet the club shop right now is going bloody nuts. They probably sold out of number nines already. Wouldn't surprise me, because it's fantastic for everybody.
Great.
Yeah, it's just and anyway, I know for you it's a welcome diversion from training camp from the Patriots, because you're probably sick of all the negativity.
I don't want to talk about that, Giannis. Can we talk about something else?
I know. This is your form of escapism, mate. Right?
Oh, please. I'm just loving talking about phone with you guys. I don't even want to talk about that other stuff. I do want to mention, Giannis, we are going to end the show talking about Rui Font, because someone has a question for you, and I'm going to pose it. It involves Rui Font that actually DM'd me and wanted me to ask you this question. So we'll end talking about Rui Font, which is very interesting. But let's move on. Let's further along talk about Mitro, and let's talk about how it all fits in the 4-3-3. How do you envision, Giannis, how Fulham will now look with him as your main striker? Who are the players next to him? What does the team look like? I'm going to say that they're going to play a 4-3-3. It could be a little bit different, but let's go with a 4-3-3. Who's going to play with him?
Well, I fancy it's going to be Schürrle on the right and Cesc on the left. And I'm doing that with the pretext and under the assumption that we signed a left back. So whether it's, you know, whether it's going to be Target, whether it's going to be Tierney, that would free Cesc and United, because Slavica and the Khans will know that really they don't want, you know, in terms of the short, medium and long-term future of the club, in terms of marketability of Cesc and based on the assumption that one day we're going to have to sell him, the marketability factor will have to come, he will get more money the further up the pitch he is. I mean, it's just unfortunate.
The value is going to go up. Absolutely.
The value is going to go up. So then they're going to look at playing Cesc on the left. So let's just say I have a feeling it's going to be Tierney, not Target. I don't mind either. I've told you why it would be fun if we have Tierney, but nonetheless, they're both good players. But let's say that it's Tierney and you've got Cesc. You've got Cesc, Mitro, Schürrle. That's a bit scary. That's scary.
That's exciting to me.
Exciting. And what it's going to do is it could end up with Steph Joe being a depth player.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that. And you know, I'm a big fan of Steph Joe, and I like his tenacity. He's a bull, and some of those challenges last year would even make me cringe. But that would be, I mean, if you look at a bench and you've got Steph on that bench, you go, oh, jeez. I mean, we've really got some options here. There'd be no mention. But those three, I think, would be fine. Although, mentioning, of course, you've got AK-47 in the background, you've got Font in the background, you've got Cabana in the background. I think AT is going to be gone. I actually think I can see, and they won't be alone. It'll be maybe Leeds United will come in for him because Vidra turned. I don't know if you read about that.
I saw that funny today.
Yeah, that's funny, that turning down a team because they finished lower than the one you're in. But who knows? The Khans, the way they are right now, wouldn't surprise me if they haven't got another rabbit up their sleeve, a striker we've not heard of that could.
Well, we're
going to
talk
out
about that in just a few minutes, because I want to ask you guys about potentially should Fulham bring in another striker. We'll talk about that in a second, Giannis. Very good there. What are your thoughts about the midfield three? Because you said you think Stefan Johansson will be in the bench. I totally agree with you there. I think it's going to be Seri, McDonald, and Kearney. How's that look to you?
The reports of Seri on Saturday, he was fabulous. In terms of Kearney, well, that speaks for itself. How the third man's going to look in there, I'm not sure yet. But there is another weapon here that I'm going to point to with the fans.
Okay.
There was a video on Twitter, I got to find out who it was saying that whoever's going to be playing on the right-hand side as a striker, let's say it's Schürrle, is going to be an absolute heaven, because Alfie Mawson, if we get him, if we sign him, is an absolute...
I've seen this video. I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, you've seen that. He's a ridiculous passer from left to right. He's
I've
an unreal long-ball passer. Accuracy, to a bloody tee. And you've got, so now you've got a different weapon there. It doesn't just have to go through the thirds. It can bypass. And with the greatest respect to Ream and Callas and Adoy, they can't do that. Whereas Mawson can just spray the ball, but not spray the ball a la, you know, northwest, you know, southwest and northeast, as in pinpoint. I still think that we're linked to a guy out in France. I know. I really want to see a chance for Kevin McDonald to be in that squad. I mean, the starting lineup, because I really like his work rate.
Yep.
And at 29 years of age, he's more than earned the right to be playing at this level. He was such.
But I wouldn't be shocked if they bring someone else in for competition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things here. You got Ibrahim Asise, and has he done enough in terms of you know, training camp to warrant a place in the squad, or is he going to be loaned out or sold out? Much like players like, you know, Marcelo Giallo, Corley Woodrow seems to have disappeared from in the weeds somewhere. But notwithstanding that he shipped off, Matt should be there or thereabouts. I still think there might be place for another player, if only because yeah. Slava will say, well, can you have enough depth?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And we have less games, 38 versus 46. And we have less League Cup games. The Carabao or the Caribou or the Moo 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 or whatever the bloody hell it's called. And we don't have to join, you know, the FA Cup obviously is third round like it was last year. But we have less games to play. We're not in Europe. So, but you still need depth because you still have that stupid, ridiculous Christmas schedule, which is has to go. I know we all love it, but the Germans have it right. You've got to have a break. I know there's going to be one starting next year, but I think you've got to have a proper break because of all these injuries. But I think Mac should be in there, but we'll see.
Okay.
I mean, it's any rumors going around, Russ, honestly.
I know. There's so much talk right now. We'll see how everything plays out, but I'm excited about the midfield. I'm really excited about the whole team, but I'm very excited about the three up front if we play a 4-3-3. And Max, I want to get your thoughts on the three up front, the two to play with Mitrovic. Do you agree with Giannis there?
Yeah, I think it's going to be an SMS message being sent out to the league with Sessegnon, Mitro, and Sherla. I think that's going to be the front three. And as I said on a previous podcast, most teams, I think, in the bottom half of the Premier League table would want a front three like that.
Oh, yes.
It's superb. And one thing I'd like to say about you guys mentioned Sessegnon possibly being sold. And this might be an unpopular opinion, but I'm going to say it now, is that with the quality of players we've attracted throughout this transfer window, it's almost made me less fearful of Sessegnon leaving. I think he'll definitely 100% stay through right. this season. I think that's out of the question. He'll be with us for this entire first season in the Premier League. But whereas beforehand, let's say before the summer started, I was really nervous if we sold Sessegnon, it would spell bad news. And of course, it's going to be bad if we sell him. I wish we can keep him as long as possible. But the fact of the matter is, other players we're bringing into the squad are possibly going to be more integral to our success than Sessegnon would be. And I think long term, because I think Sessegnon, we know he's an amazing goal scorer, probably the best natural finisher I've ever seen in my life. Probably has one of the best eyes for the match, just how to read a game I've seen in a while. But he doesn't boss matches. He doesn't win us matches in the way that I think Alfie Mawson might win us a match, or Jean-Michel Seri might win us a match, or Mitro might win us a match. Those are players who can take the game by the scruff of their neck and will be vital to us, which makes the Cons kind of strategy this summer all the more impressive, because preparing, you're right, I think, for life without Sessegnon, but preparing for it in
a sustainable
way.
I think they're already doing that, Max. Yeah. This goes back to the insurance policy. That's what I call Sessegnon. And listen, I want Ryan Sessegnon to be a Fulham player for a long time. But I'm also being realistic to think that, what, it's going to be a year or two. So the Cons have to plan for the future as well. And I think that's what they're doing. I think they're trying to upgrade in many places. And they don't want to sell Sessegnon, but they know that at some point they're probably going to have to, because the money's going to be so much. And he might want a new challenge. But right now he's our player. And I don't think he's going to be sold. I highly doubt it. But I think that, going back to your point, Max, I think Fulham are already planning for it. If that sounds strange, because I think that they're bringing in so much talent that they can withstand that loss. It obviously is going to be a huge loss, but I think that they'll be able to move on from that better now because they brought in all these new players and there'll be other new players to come. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying for sure. The new players coming in, it will make the loss less. But I think alternatively,
it'll lessen the blow. Yeah. It's still going to be a blow. Let's be honest. It's going to be a huge blow.
But... Sure, but alternatively, I like to look at it this way. If we can dream for a second, let's say all the signings we want, we can get this summer, and we have a very decent starting 11 with another left back, another center mid, and possibly another striker if we need one. But I think without that, I think we're set. You know, if we can get another left back, a center back, and a center mid. Let's say we stay up this first year, and the next year we make a run for Europe. And I don't necessarily think that's out of the question. It's possible. It's not likely. But let's say we pull a mini Leicester City and we stay up the first season and make a run to the top eight, top seven. Then I'd say I look at Ryan Sessegnon. He'd still only be 21 years old. Yep. I'd say to him, stay at Fulham and see where it can take you, because I think he can go a very long way with this club if we build around him. And the players we're bringing in, they're not players to barely stay up in the Premier League. I'll be honest. They're players to crack the top 10.
That's the difference here. And that's been the theme here. Fulham aren't building a team to just stay in the league. They're building a team to compete. And that's actually a good point. So maybe if Fulham progress well this season, it might convince Sessegnon to stay longer. But I don't blame the cons for, you know, building up this team as much as possible right now and planning for the future, because at some point he's probably going to go. I mean, we don't want to talk about it, but that's the reality of it. I don't think it's going to be this season. I'm not really thinking about it, but someone actually asked me if I thought that he would go, and I just don't see it. I really don't see it. And I just see it as an insurance policy. That was what we were talking about off air before the show. All right, guys, last topic before we talk about Rui Font, because I do have a question for Giannis from a Fulham supporter. So, Max, to you, because I've seen this on social media. Do Fulham still need another striker?
No, we don't. I think if we sign, these are our positions of need as a moment. Let's assume Mawson comes in the next couple of days.
Okay.
We need a left back and another defensive midfielder. Then we're set. I think if you go and spend 20, 25 million pounds on another striker, I think that's superfluous. I think that's probably a waste of money. I don't think we need a striker. I think Mitrovic will be more than enough to lead the line, considering all we've talked about today, about how perfect he is for Fulham, how much we love him here, how he's perfect for our system. I just can't see spending, you know, excess of 20 million pounds on another striker, which is probably what we'll have to pay in today's market. I just can't see that being worth it.
Okay. Giannis, your thoughts?
Well, assuming that Corley Woodward's gone, and we don't, you know, you said a lot about the status of Floyd Aiete, but I think we've got enough strikers, but I wouldn't surprise if the Khans are still looking out there to see if there's anybody, possibly anybody, that might come out there with some experience, could provide us with potential upgrade, because that's what they're looking at now. Every player...
Yeah. Oh, they're looking for upgrades everywhere.
They're looking for upgrades. And I'm wondering, you know, are there players out there? The cheaper ones will come from overseas. So really the scouting department overseas are taking a look at that. Is there anybody out there? We've not heard anybody, but a number of rumors have been going around. I wouldn't put it past them. But if nothing happened now, as Max said, you know, a left back and a holding central midfield are probably the two spots, assuming the Mawson signs. And then I think we should be good to go.
Okay. Very good there, Giannis. Let's talk a little bit about this speculation, because who knows, we might have another show very soon. And that is the speculation with Alfie Mawson, center back from Swansea City. Let's just talk about it a little bit. Nothing's done. We've seen all the speculation that it potentially could be done, but we'll see. You know, again, that speculation, we have to see if it actually happens. But do you want to see this happen, this center back from Swansea City?
For me, absolutely, because right now we need someone to play with Tim Ream. It's not going to be Marcelo Giallo, and
Dennis Odoi, but in the Premier League,
I love Dennis Odoi, but Dennis Odoi is not. Dennis Odoi has to be a depth player as well as he played for us last year. The jump is pretty huge. I mean, some of the weaknesses that he has will get unfortunately exploited with the the incredible talent in the Premier League, but he'll be on the bench. I think the only question mark for me is that Mawson and Ream are both left-footed players. But, I mean, having said that, you've got an upgrade there. There would be a huge upgrade for us. And I'm thinking also long-term, because if he has one or two very good years, gets into the England setup, and I don't see any reason why he can't, because if you look at the way England is set up right now, he's going to be knocking on the door soon anyway, then I think it would be not just a good investment in terms of the club right now. I think if we need to sell him down the line, I'm sure, because he's a domestic player and he's a centre-back, which is, you know, it's like gold dust.
His value should go up, Giannis.
His value should go through the roof. So I think it would be a tremendous buy for us. And my understanding is he's travelling to the to Motspur Park for a medical. That was tomorrow. That's the latest. So
yeah, we've seen the speculation. I didn't want to say that it was done because it's not done yet, but we've seen the speculation that he was travelling to Motspur Park for a medical. We'll see if that happens. Hopefully it does. Max, over to you. Your thoughts on this speculation?
It's great because it really addresses one of the biggest needs, which is another center back. And not just any center back, a young English center back with 2 years of Premier League experience. And not just, you know, Premier League experience. In his 2 years in the Premier League, he's been superb. I mean, for instance, last season, he had the seventh most blocks in the league, the 10th most clearances, and the 12th most headed clearances in all of the top flight. So this is a player who's not just, you know, a center back who got relegated. He was one of the most consistent performers in all the Premier League. And I've seen Swansea supporters say all over social media, he's one of the few players who could actually, you know, hold his head up high after they got relegated and say he played superb, despite how poorly the team did in general. So I think he would be really a fantastic signing for us. And, you know, he got an England call up in March. He didn't play for the friendlies, but this is a player who I think is going to be in the three line setup in the next couple of years. And to get him at a price of 20 million, it's a lot, but I think considering he's English and he's young and he's exactly what we need, I think that's a pretty fair price to pay.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you concerned about the situation? What I've been reading is that he's coming off of an injury. Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, obviously it's not nice to sign a player, you know, when they're not 100% fit. We all know what happened with Kostas Mitroglou. But what I've been reading is that he's returning to full fitness, and reporters have been saying he'll possibly be fit for the start of the season and can
return to
full training. So
okay,
that makes you feel better. Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Giannis?
Everything that Max said. There's no point adding to that. He put it perfectly. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm no. You've stolen all my thunder, Max. That's not a good thing.
Okay, well, we're going to end the show with a question for Giannis. And I got this a few days ago, Giannis. This is from John McCormick. He actually DM'd this to me, wanted me to ask you this. Hi, Russ. I have a question for Giannis on your next pod because I know he's a big fan. Whenever you discuss our squad's capabilities for new season, what can Font bring to the Prem that maybe held him back in the championship? Will there be a ruinescence, like a renaissance? Giannis?
I think that's thanks, John, for the question. That's an excellent question, and I'm going to answer it pretty simply. I think I really like his thinking. Actually, it's two things. First one is the thinking. I mean, the championship, for, you know, we found out when we got relegated, when we came down and, you know, that lovely, you know, white and grey striped shirt with the orange trim with Felix the Cat. We thought it was going to be a great stroll in the park. And then we found out it was nothing further from the truth. It's extremely competitive, extremely, extremely tough division. And, you know, you don't go there. The Sunderland fans have said we'll walk the championship, and now they're in League One. And, you know, for a lot of players, it can be quite a shock in terms of the physicality of the division. And Font's not a physical player, but I think he's a smart player. I like his first touch. I like his ability to move into pockets. I do like his awareness. I think he's a clever player. I don't think he's a different kind of clever player from a Brian Ruiz. And yes, I'm sure I'm going to have the eggs thrown there. But I've always been a recognizer of players who think about the game that brings something a little bit different. And Ruiz has just gone to gone to actually Santos in Brazil after a successful period at Sporting Lisbon. And I'll always have a lot of time for Ruiz. You know, the English game wasn't quite cut out for him, but there were some moments of magic. I think Font can bring that. I think there's a little bit more time on the ball in the Premier League and a little bit more where, you know, the savvy that he can bring, he will bring. But the second component to this, and to me is actually just as important as the first, is if you go back to the playoff final at Wembley, you know, with all the memories that came with that, with obviously you being there and me being jealous of that, of course, Russ. One of the enduring images of that, to me, was the reaction of Rui Font. You know, jumping up and down like a headless chicken that's just won a lottery. And the excitement of running on the field and celebrating with all his teammates. And I thought that was absolutely magnificent. And I think, you know, in the same sort of way that we can laud, you know, the contributions of David Button before he left for Brighton, that nobody can ever say he was anything but a you know, a constant professional who really was a team player. It's the same way as, you know, Rui Font came over. He's just signed a contract from Braga. You know, he's only got 27 appearances for this club. I think 6 or 7 starting last year, but he didn't let his attitude let him get down. You know, we brought in AK-47, we brought in Mitro, and he still worked worked his tail off clearly, and he was a part of a squad that got promoted. And you know what? I like loyalty, and I like that commitment, and I really hope he does well. And I think he will. I just think that the Premier League is a quicker division, but a cleverer division. You very, very smart players. Okay. And I think Font's a smart player. And I think he'll provide a little bit of class in depth, not in terms of starting, but he could give us something, an option off the bench that can give us a little bit, something a little different, you know, in terms of depth of the squad. I think he's going to have a good season. Okay. I don't know. See, he's safe because I think Slavisa rates him. But I think there might be others. We know Woodrow's on the way out, but I keep looking at Aite again.
I know. Because it always goes back to Floyd.
And you know, well, Cabano has obviously stepped up.
You know, yes.
He stepped up. And now I think Slavisa might look at this and go, well, do I have too many here? And if Woodrow's gone, you don't give up on Font after 1 year.
I don't think so.
He's durable. I need to catch a cold from a Kleenex box. So anyway, I hope that answers the question, John. But I am a big fan. You know that. And he's not a starter in this lineup. But if he can come off the bench and give something, and I think he can with his skill and his savvy, and I do like his awareness, yep, it makes us a better team overall.
Okay, excellent. Max, your thoughts. Do you think we'll see a Rui-naissance?
I want to say yes because I like him. I like his passion. I like how even though he wasn't playing at all, he still cared about the club. I just don't see him having that big of an impact. I mean, he'll play during the cup competitions, sure, but I mean, as you guys said about Cabano, he's a player who was on the fringe going into the season and now has really put himself back in the mix.
I don't think we've seen the best of him, honestly. Yeah.
For sure, yeah. And then, but I can't say the same for Font this preseason. He hasn't quite caught the eye like Cabano has.
No, he hasn't.
So I'm hesitant to put him in that same category. And I think on paper, he should be better suited to the Premier League than the Championship, but I still don't think he has the potential to be a top-class striker. A good second or third option is, I think, what I'll say Font can be.
Okay, excellent. Great show, guys. Fantastic show. We might have to do another one of these.
Yay! Because
there might be another signing. Who knows?
Like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. Who knows? The way it's going.
Well, I'm enjoying doing these breaking news shows where we're analyzing the new signs. I'm enjoying it. So I have a feeling we're going to have another one soon. That's just my gut feeling. But let's wrap this up. For Jan Janaeus and Max Cohen from the Boot Room, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you as always for listening to Cottage Talk.